Welcome to Be Truly Heard with me, coach and voice expert Anne Leatherland. If you're a woman in business looking to speak with authority, warmth and authenticity, this is the podcast for you. We'll explore valuable personal growth strategies alongside vocal skills, so you can overcome confidence barriers and communicate what's inside. Your voice matters. It's time to be truly heard. Hello and welcome to this episode of Be Truly Heard. I'm your host, Anne Leatherland. I'd like you to cast your mind back to being a child and being told a story that really engaged you and enthralled you. What made it the quality of the opening and then the story itself? The skills of the storyteller, the clarity, the rise and the fall of their voice, their energy, their eye contact, their body language. A story on its own can struggle if the telling is poor. On the other hand, a mediocre story can go a long way if it's told well. Now, if you were with us last week, you'll have heard me and my guest, Ed Nell, chatting about the importance of stories. I know that we're not children, and the stories we tell in our meetings and presentations, or even on the phone in a call to a client, may be serious things, but we can still learn from this. So today I'm going to delve into this a bit more. We'll consider how to prepare, how to open the story, how to flesh it out, how to bring the main points together in a satisfying way and be in control of the narrative, just as a good storyteller is. Let's have a quick recap on the things that Ed said last week. If you haven't listened, do go back and catch up on that one. But we need to know the journey. We need to have our aims and objectives. If you like, the W's, the who, why, what, where, when. It's a bit like taking a motorway trip. We know where we're starting out and we know where we're finishing, but there are calling points along the way. Which calling points are the important ones, and which ones are just the brown signs that we could take as a diversion if we had time, but won't necessarily get us any nearer to our destination? And then what's the final reveal of what we're going to say? What's the takeaway? What's the thing that we want to leave people with? So structuring a story is so important. The telling of a story, or the presenting of important information, or standing up giving a report in a meeting, all require some degree of practice and rehearsal, especially if you're the sort of person who doesn't like doing it or isn't very experienced at doing it. So we need to think about how we're going to do that and what it is we're going to do in order to practice. Now, this is great because this is where we start to look at things that I've already mentioned in the podcast, looking at how we work with our breath and body, how we can use this to calm our nerves before an event. And I'm saying this here in preparation because this could be 2 weeks before you have to give your presentation and tell your story. It's possible to feel very nervous, especially if it's a big thing like a conference, and you have to be able to deal with those nerves well in advance of the event. So learning how to breathe and calm down your nervous system, learning how to get connected to your voice so that you get your vocal folds vibrating well and working for you. And that requires daily practice, just 10 minutes, just to get things going, and putting into practice also a decent warm-up and cool-down routine. How to affirm yourself regularly. That's part of practicing. We need to get that into our routine. It has to become a habit. In other words, telling ourselves that what we have to say is worthwhile. On a more practical note, in the preparation phase is thinking about the landscape of your story. That's the highs and the lows. If you want to look back at our journey analogy, then it's where are there hills? Where are there mountains? Where will we stop? So in terms of your voice and your presentation, it's your pitching, your pacing, your emphasis, and then the way you use your eyes and your body and take your general energy into that storytelling. So let's say we've thought about all of that. We have our story together. We know how it's going to go. We've done the practice, but we need a dress rehearsal. This might not always be possible, of course, especially if things are at short notice, but practicing generally in your own time will make you more confident. Your mind will be used to structuring and you'll know how to calm down your nervous system. That leaves you free to use your adrenaline usefully and be creative. That, of course, takes experience. So it could become part of your work if you do have to stand up and present every now and again to practice at home with an imaginary report. That way, when you are called, it won't be such a shock. You'll be able to apply what you've learned. A really useful way to do a dress rehearsal is to present your ideas to a trusted colleague and get them to listen to your presentation and give you feedback. Of course, once you have that feedback from your trusted colleague, you can make tweaks to what you do. Let's think next then about the opening of your presentation, your story. The first thing is to get the attention in the right way. This starts as soon as you stand up or walk out onto the platform, into the room, whatever. You need to think of making that impression and then gathering people to you. So how can we do that? Well, again, it's practice. Practice walking into a room with your head up, with your body well aligned. Your breathing regulated. We can smile or engage appropriately. If it's a very serious thing, a big smile might not be the best thing, but we can show an acknowledgement. We can give a little smile of engagement. We can use our eyes to say, I'm with you on this and I'm going to lead you forward in what I have to say. Get people into your eye line. If you don't like making direct eye contact, as I've said before, you can just look over the tops of their heads. But introduce yourself very clearly, very calmly, and be confident that that's enough. Now, what do we do next? Well, I try to avoid the today I'm going to talk about trap. Sometimes in the podcasts, I haven't because I've wanted to say very quickly and concisely where we're going. And there is a place for that. But if you've got a longer presentation and you've got time to really draw people in, then you can ask a question. Imagine if, or what would happen if? Let me give you an example. I have a presentation that I give from time to time called You Can Change Your Voice. In other words, your voice doesn't always have to sound the same way. And I always start it off by framing this situation. Here it goes. I want you to imagine that you're about to give a huge presentation or say something very important at a meeting. And you stand up and walk out into the room or onto the stage. Everything's ready and you open your mouth and your voice doesn't work. What would that be like? And immediately people come back with, oh, that would be awful. That would be terrible. I wouldn't be able to do my job. So I then follow that up with, why is it then that people don't consider the quality of their voice in terms of their presentation? I take my presentation from there. It leads me in a way that I can really get people on board. It gets a reaction. So that's the sort of thing I mean. Now, you could be talking about a fall in sales, or you could be talking about a new branding offer, anything that you might come across in your day-to-day work. But why not frame it as, what would it be like if, or imagine that XYZ happened? use that to lead you into the story that you're going to tell, the figures that you're going to present, the ideas that you're going to float, if you like, during that meeting or in that presentation. That gets people on board right from the beginning, and it will show that you're in control of what you're doing and you're leading them into that narrative. Don't give it all away. You can give them a brief outline of where you're going to go. Some people are concept people, so they like to know what the finishing point is. For instance, if you've opened up with the imagine if, you can say, by the end of this presentation, we'll understand more about XYZ. So give them a direction. Now we need to get into the main part of the narrative, the plot, if you like. This has to unfold, and it will usually have several threads. A plot that's too linear is boring. So if you can find the different threads of your story and bring them together, and use your voice, body, eye contact, etc. to do it, then they're going to be much more engaged and much more on your side. You can use your slides sparingly, I would say, as you go along to highlight your points. It's like showing a picture in the story. If the picture is too complicated, it means nothing. Make it simple and make it something that enhances what you're talking about. Don't just read the slide. Slides with vast amounts of figures and charts on look impressive, but they don't necessarily tell people what's going on. You need to be ready to just show one or two things and explain very clearly. Unfold your ideas gradually, so that you're still moving towards your end point. So let me go back to my example of you can change your voice. I started with the imagine if and then the question. I gave them examples of different voice qualities and types by playing recordings, and I encouraged people to spot their own type. Then I explored how they could change their voice and how they could make that work for them in different situations. So in other words, I fleshed out the original premise and I fleshed out why it was important that they might want to use their voice in different ways rather than just taking it for granted, as in the opening gambit. We've taken them on the main part of the journey. Then people want to have a good ending. There's nothing worse, is there, than a film or a story, anything, and you think, oh, that was a rubbish ending. It didn't resolve the plot points. It goes nowhere. Sometimes things can have a good ending that everything isn't tied up in. In other words, it's not neat and tidy. It makes you think. Sometimes we can do that. But I think for a typical presentation or a meeting, you want to make it go somewhere by tying up the points that you've made. So bring them back to the opening point, tell people what they've learned and what you've covered, and then move them forward by inspiring. So what would it be like if you did all of these things and you could change your voice in different arenas? That would be my inspiration and moving forward. Sure, it leaves them with more questions, but it shows people that there is a future, there is something else happening. If you're talking about your figures or your sales report, what would it be like if we could have this amount of growth every month or every year? What difference would that make to us as a company? I'm just waxing lyrical here with examples that might mean something to you, but you can apply it to whatever it is that you want to talk about. Then, and only then, invite questions and feedback. I'll put a little proviso on that. If you have a question that you want answered as part of your narrative as you go along, you can invite people to answer it. But you need to be strong and in control and keep them on point. What you don't want is to be derailed by people saying things that are irrelevant in the middle of your presentation. So if you're not sure about that one, then don't do it. Wait until the end and then field the questions. Now, I know that a lot of you will dread the question and answer sessions and the fact that some people might criticise what you've said, or they might throw spanners into the works. Well, that's a topic for a whole other podcast, isn't it? So hang on, I will be covering that and we'll be chatting about that. So do come back and check for future episodes. Overall, then, we can bring down the telling of a story to a few main important points. Construct your story and practice it. Practice your voice skills, practice your body skills, practice your mental skills so that you don't get put off. Get feedback and tweak your story. Prepare. Start well. Gather people in, make them feel welcome, and then engage them by getting their brains on board right from the beginning. Lead people on a journey. Have a few stopping off points. And then finally, gather everything together and bring it home so that they get the point of what you've said. If you do these things, your audience will thank you. Well, that's it for this episode. If you've been listening to Be Truly Heard, please do subscribe and leave a review and a rating. I'd also love to know how you're all getting on out there, especially with some of the challenges I've been setting along the way. Why not join our Facebook group, the Be Truly Heard Forum, and take part in the discussion there? Now, one of the most powerful tools you can use to get your story across well is pacing. We've mentioned it briefly before, but this time I'll be going into more detail and giving you some top tips. That's next week, so don't miss it. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of Be Truly Heard. Please look out for future episodes and do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me on LinkedIn, Anne Leatherland, or learn more at annleatherland.co.uk. If you have questions and comments about speaking with confidence, I'd love to hear from you and will respond in future episodes. Be Truly Heard is brought to you by Vocal Intuition and produced by The Podcast Boutique. I'm your host, Anne Leatherland. Bye for now.